Remember when Peter was going to deny the Lord? The Lord told him, and you often heard me say this, the Lord told him in Luke 22, "You are going to deny me three times before the cock crows tonight." And listen to this, "But I'm not going to pray that you will not fall. You will fall. And you must fall." Can you imagine? Supposing you knew that somebody was going to fall, would you pray that he doesn't fall? I would. But Jesus is wiser than me. He says to Peter, "I will not pray that you should not fall." And I can expand on the reason for that. "Peter, you're such a proud person. God has tried every other way to humble you. He's not succeeded. Now the only way to humble you is make you fall. Because you're boasting, even if everybody denies you, 'Lord, I will not deny you.' Well, you just have to learn how weak you are." That's why God had to let him fall, to teach him how weak he was. How in the world would he know that otherwise? Supposing he went through that night without denying the Lord, he would have stood at the cross and said, "Lord, didn't I tell you I wouldn't deny you?" But he stood at the cross with his head bowed, ashamed. Because he who boasted, you know, whenever anybody boasts about something, I've seen this happen. People who boast about something, in the very area that they boast, God humbles them. He humbles them in their strong points. But the Lord told him, "I'm praying something else for you, Peter. I won't leave you without prayer. I won't pray that you should not fall. You need to fall. Because that's how you learn a lesson. But after you fall, when you hit rock bottom, I'm going to pray that you'll have faith." What sort of faith do you need when you've made a mess of your life, when you've hit rock bottom, when you've reached the level of the pigs? What faith do you need? The faith that my dad still loves me. I can go back to him. That's what that prodigal son had, faith. And that's the faith that the Lord wanted Peter to have. When you hit rock bottom and you think, "Oh, you've denied the Lord, he'll never accept me again," I want you to believe that he will accept you still. Have you ever denied Jesus? Maybe not directly, maybe indirectly we've done that, ashamed of him sometimes, in some situations. Will he accept you back? That's faith. "Lord, I made a mess of my life, but you still accept me." Maybe you're a believer and you backslid and made a mess of your life. That's worse than, you know, making a mess of your life as an unconverted person. The prodigal son was a son who went away, not some unconverted guy. To backslide and make a mess of your life is worse than to make a mess of your life as an unconverted sinner. And then to believe that God still loves me, that's faith. Always you must believe that. God still loves me. I mean, there may be 101 things I don't know, but one thing I know, God loves me. He will provide for me. He'll forgive me. Not only forgive me, but he'll make provision for me. That's faith, to believe God loves me just as I am. He doesn't love my sin. He hates my sin. Haven't you seen mothers who hate the sickness in their child, but love the child so much, saying, "I wish I could take that sickness into myself." If you want to know how God hates sin in your life, think of how a mother hates sickness in a child. That's the best way to think of it. That's the way it's helped me. Why does God hate my sin? Wouldn't a father hate sickness in a child? But the poor child doesn't know the seriousness of a sickness. Do you think a child knows the seriousness of blood cancer or something like that? It doesn't have a clue. But the father knows it, and the father hates that and does everything possible to get rid of that sickness from the child. And that is how God once hates sins which I don't realize are destroying me. A lot of you young people don't realize how pornography destroys you more than blood cancer. If you knew it, you'd get rid of it. Nobody would inject cancer into their blood. Nobody. But that's what you do when you open the computer screen and watch pornography there. It's like injecting cancer into your blood. Only a stupid child would do that. And the father's trying to save you from injecting that type of stuff into your mind. Because I'll tell you something. You put something into your blood, it's easier to clean it out. You put something into your mind, it's very difficult to clean it out. So be careful what you put into your mind, because it's there forever. Something goes into your memory, it's there forever. And your dad knows that. Your dad in heaven knows that. And that's why he tries to warn you. And in this pulpit, we have warned you again and again and again. You won't find another pulpit where people love you so much to save you from things that will destroy you. People think it's hard preaching. That's to save you from destroying yourself. A father who provides for us, who loves us intensely. Look at this wonderful promise. This is the promise of a loving father. I want to read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For me, in my own life, it has been one of the most wonderful promises in the whole of Scripture as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says here, in the middle of this verse, God is faithful. Faithful to do what? Faithful to do many, many things. But here's one of those things He's faithful to do. He will never allow you to be tested or tempted beyond your ability. But with that trial or temptation will provide a way of escape so that you can come out of it, overcome it, endure it. That is a wonderful promise because, you know, people like us who talk about the ability God gives us to overcome sin. The devil says, I'm just going to get out of this fellow and make him fall. I'm sure the devil's got massive temptations lined up which are too strong for me today. But God won't let them come to me. No. Do you think a school teacher will give a 10th standard question paper to a first standard student? Many of you have gone through school, all of us have gone through school many years. Can you think of a time in any, all of us have done hundreds of examinations in school. Did you ever in your life get a question paper which was not the question paper for your class? I never got it. Teachers, human beings, never gave me a question paper which was beyond my level. If I was in second standard, I got a second standard question paper. Do you believe God would do it? Have you? Sometimes you do believe God will do it. Sometimes you do believe that God is more foolish than school teachers. And I'll prove it to you. Have you ever said these words? Oh, this is becoming too much for me. Have you ever said it? What do you mean by that? A foolish God has given me a trial which is too much for me. That's what you mean. That means He didn't, either that or you're not a child of God. If you're not a child of God, then I have no promise for you. But if you're a child of God, say, oh, this is becoming too much for me. I can't bear this. You're accusing God of being more stupid than a school teacher. He's given me a question paper which is way beyond my level. It's not true. That's why I say this is a wonderful promise. God's provision, His promise. He's a loving Father who regulates the trial that comes into your life. I think of many testings God has taken me through. And I've always seen that God has ensured that He's made me strong. That means He's taught me the subject, then given me the question paper. Much better than any school teacher. He won't give me a question paper without teaching me the subject first and giving me private tuition, best of all. You'll never get a teacher like God. He gives you private tuition. And then why does He give us a question paper? Why do your children get question papers? Do you keep them at home on examination day? How many of you keep your children at home on examination day? I never did it. Even if they got fever, I said, you got to go. Why is that? Because the examination leads to a promotion. And I want to say every trial that God sends into your life is a question paper that will lead to a promotion. And the wonderful thing about God's examinations is, unlike any earthly examination, the teacher sits beside me and says, I'll give you the answers. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that Jesus sits beside me and says, I'll help you through this. I say, praise the Lord. Wonderful. I never knew that God's examinations are like this, where the teacher sits beside me and says, I'll help you. This is what you got to do. You can overcome. You can pass. You need never say, this question is too tough. In my younger days, when I was foolish, when I did not have a spiritual father to instruct me like I'm instructing you, I wish I had. I wish that somebody taught me these things when I was 19, when I was converted. But I was not as fortunate as you are. I struggled for years to find a spiritual father who could instruct me. I never found one. I said, Lord, what? I was like an orphan, earthly wise speaking, but the result was I got to know my heavenly father much better. And I said, Lord, well, what I lacked, I'm going to try and provide for other people. Teach them things that will stabilize them, make them mature much quicker than I matured. God is a father who provides. And I'm talking about spiritual provision, that he will never allow you to face a trial in your life that he's not already prepared you for.